Friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. This is the message that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall happen in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will flow to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Then he will teach us from his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For from Zion the law shall go out, and the Lord's word shall go out from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and he will mediate for many peoples. Then they will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and they shall not learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, I thought that today I would take a text from outside of our normal lessons. I must have looked at dozens of different Bible passages just to base more of a funeral context into the sermon. But I ended up coming back to this lesson because I thought about this. How many mountains does a pilot see? How many mountains does a pilot fly over? Jerry Cortez in life was a pilot. He maneuvered through the winds, and he saw a lot of things. I've seen some mountains. I've been to the Rockies. I've been on top of a 13er, a 13,000-foot mountain. I've seen Mount Rainier. I've even been to the Holy Land and had a chance to look around at some of the mountains in Israel, some of the famous mountains. But I'm sure I've only seen a fraction of what a pilot gets to experience in his life. Part of the frustration today is that we don't get to fly off into the heights of heaven as Jerry does. We don't get to see but a fraction of the heights that he does, and yet God shows us a glimpse of an incredible mountain, a glorious mountain, a mountain of good news. And he does it through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah gets a vision in our lesson today, and it's more glorious than any mountain we could pilot in this world. It was a mountain that reminds us of the Lord Jesus' return. That's what Advent is all about. He's coming for each of us, just as he came for each of us at Christmas. And it was this Lord that your husband, that your father, that your grandfather, that your friend trusted in. It was this mountain that we're going to talk about today that Jerry relied on, because this mountain has to do with the Lord who made peace with Jerry. The Lord who was his friend. And what a friend. Who was also this man's rock, his heights, his mountain, and now his heaven. In times of sadness, this is our highest good. That in our text today, we have Isaiah to show us a mountain of good news. And how meaningful it is when we need good news. To know that we have a God who heaps it into a mountain and serves it to his people who stream from all nations. Now there is a mountain in Jerusalem, a mountain where it is said in rabbinic legends that the world was created from this mountain, the mountain where Abraham almost offered Isaac, the mountain where the Temple of Solomon stood for 400 years. It's known as the Temple Mount. Mount Moriah, or Mount Zion, fact, it has many names. And then the picture in our sermon text today, what happens is Isaiah is looking at this mountain and it grows. It's elevated and raised to a point that's chief among all mountains. That's a pretty impressive mountain. If you go to Israel today, because of Israel's wickedness, God eventually had that temple destroyed twice. And now on that mountain rests the Dome of the Rock, plated in gold. But that's not nearly as impressive if you look at the dimensions and heights of the old temple as what Solomon's temple would have been. And yet, it's still not chief among the mountains. What we see here is that God raises this to Everest heights. It's the chief of all the mountains, and that's what Isaiah saw. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do then? Are we going to wait until that mountain in Israel is physically raised above everything? There are some people who believe that it's a physical raising of the mountain. But if we continue and we see what this mountain consists of, we actually get a little bit of a different picture. What we see is that this is the mountain where the Lord's teaching is. It's a great high mountain because that's where His law shall go out and His word shall also go out. And it's not just God's moral judgments, His commandments. This use of the word law might be a little broader than what we think of His teaching, because it's connected there with God's word. And it's an inviting place. It's a place where people stream to, because at this mountain they find hope. They find future. They find new life. They find renewal at this mountain. In fact, in the New Testament, we get a little clearer picture in the book of Hebrews. It says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Therefore, we don't really need to understand the mountain as a literalistic height, a physical thing. What we can understand here is that this is the mountain that rises up as chief among mountains wherever the good news of God is preached and heard. Wherever two or three gather in God's name, there is this mountain. Wherever a word of comfort or hope or peace is needed and heard, there is this mountain. Wherever we need to cling to God in our darkest of times, there is this mountain, because this mountain is wherever the gospel is preached. And so this mountain is in the latter times, in times even now, starting in the New Testament, when Jesus came, when Jesus died for our sins, when Jesus rose again to prove defeat over much deeper and darker powers than any flesh or blood. And trust me, our enemies are not flesh and blood. They're spiritual powers. They're those moments of guilt and sin that cling to us when we know we've hurt other people. They're those times when we're lonely, and in the darkness, we forget to look to God. And our enemies, the devil and death, sweep in and they cause us to doubt. They accuse us and they tell us there's no hope anymore. But today God tells us, don't fall into those valleys. Trust in this high, this chief, this largest, this greatest of mountains. Because here we hear the gospel. It's a mountain not just for me, for someone who might wear a robe on Sunday mornings. It's not a mountain just for people with the right pedigree or the right blood flowing through their veins. It's a mountain for all peoples. And all nations already stream to this mountain because they know this good news of God is where they can rest their souls. There are a lot of different mountains that attempt to jut their way into our range of emotions. There are many philosophies, lifestyles, false religions, achievements where people try to rest their souls, but none of them are like this mountain. Because none of them give true peace that lasts. None of them take away our sins. None of them relieve us from death. None of them raise to life. None of them solve the warfare of sin. And none of them make God your friend. Except for this one. This is how the Lord makes his temple and builds it anew. He puts out this good news. He heaps it up in great portions. He places it before us. And then faith trusts that good news. Faith holds on to that. Faith knows it just as Jerry Cortez did. And then faith flies to new heights. Peace for our souls, rest in Jesus, and the hope of eternal life in heaven. Not just a suggestion of heaven. Not just a suggestion of peace, but a certainty, an anchor for our souls. We could say much about the character of Jerry Cortez. He was a man upon whom you could depend. I got a flavor of that for as short as I knew him. I imagine if you had to apply to him for advice, he was the kind of person who could give it. And he could heap it in good portions that may or may not have always been welcome, but certainly was loved. He had so many interesting things to say. He had so many amazing flights. Now that you no longer get to see and touch and hug this dear child of God, I remind you, you will not be without a counselor. You will not be without a mountain to rest your soul. After all, it wasn't himself that Jerry relied upon for a mountain from the start. That's not where he placed his trust. He depended upon a different rock and mountain. He depended upon God himself and his good news. You and I have Isaiah to show us a mountain of good news. And the good news is this. There is not a sorrow in the human heart, but that the gospel has a word of comfort for. Just think about that. There is not a feeling or an emotion or a frustration in this world that God's good news cannot fill up and restore. And that's one proof that we know it's from God, because God knows all the ailings and sorrows of the human soul. In fact, he became like one of us to feel them, to be our brother, and to put those sorrows and ailings to death. He put those sorrows and ailings to death on the cross, and then he was raised to new life to prove to us that this isn't all there is. This isn't the end of our hope and comfort, the little straws that we grasp in this life. But there's consolation for everything we might feel, even in death. Cast your cares today on the Lord, because he cares for you as no earthly father possibly can. The Lord cares better than the fondest of mothers can care for her infant. We get passages like this in the Psalms. The Lord relieves the fatherless and the widow. And again it says, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy dwelling. To carry a husband, a father, a grandfather, to a friend to the grave is no easy task. But today God wishes to lighten that load. He wishes to dry our tears, and he wishes to take away the things that would give us pain. Our God will do it, at least in part, by commanding his true messengers to tell us what no earthly counselor will. That your life does not end in death. That there is life coming. And a better life than we could imagine in this world. We have a God who knows the way out of the grave. It's been said that Christianity has died many times. But every time it rises again, because that's the kind of God we have. The God who knows his way out of the grave. So that he can bring light to darkness. He can bring joy to sorrow. And because he lives, you also will live. Look to him. Look to Jesus Christ, just as a man named Jerry Cortez once did, and still does. Because he considered the Lord his heights, his mountain, his hope, and his heaven. Amen.